You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Let's begin with prayer. Lord God, this day is yours. It's another Sunday where we celebrate your resurrection, Lord Jesus, a day that we want our minds to be renewed and strengthened by the amazing power that you have, Lord, for us in your word. And so we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear today. And Holy Spirit, that you'd be working through your word in powerful ways in our lives, Lord, to release us in ways that we are still held captive, to free us, Lord, in love and service and joy, to give us peace, to give us the wholeness that you so intend for your people, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the different churches in our area, many churches, Lord, that proclaim your gospel today. And we thank you that we are not alone here at Thrive, but across this entire region, your church reigns and your church is growing. And we pray, Lord, today that your gospel would come forth strongly across all sorts of places and in all sorts of ways. And not just, Lord, through what happens on Sunday morning at a church building, but through the week, Lord, through your church, through each of us as witnesses in our community and world. So bless this time as we are gathered together in your word today. And be with our mission team in Haiti right now, Lord, as they celebrate with the church there and proclaim your goodness and grace that transcends, Lord, all languages and cultures and expressions, and we thank you for that. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are in a new series this week called Mastermind, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about how you can change your mind. Do you ever change your mind? Okay. And change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, you also can change your life. And we're looking at how that works in the life of one person in particular and how he was a witness to that in the life of the apostle, the missionary, Paul. You ever heard of him? His mind and his thinking was pretty well messed up for a while, but then he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and things changed. And we're going to be looking at that. So you can follow along through the YouVersion of the Bible. There are notes for this. And Mastermind here at Thrive Community. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 today. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So, in this text, this is kind of going to be the key text for the next 3 weeks in one form or another. There are three Greek words that occur in chapter 10, verse 4, where he says, the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And these three words, the first one is stratoiometha. Do you see that? Can you say that? Stratoiometha. You read it from left to right, okay? Unlike Hebrews, you read it from right to left. Boy, that's really confusing, isn't it? But it's where the word we get, we'll get to that. The next word is okoroumaton, okay? And the third word is dunata. That one's the easiest one, right? Not denata. Okay, but do nata, okay? So stratoiometha is where we get the word in English, strategy, and that's the word in that text called warfare. He says we have a warfare, a strategy, a method, and this is what we're focusing on over these 3 weeks. What is the strategy that you and I have in Christ to overcome the obstacles in our life, in our thinking? The second word is that okoroumaton. And that is the word for strongholds. It can also be translated as a prison, okay? So people are in prison without even knowing it, is what Paul is saying. And we're going to get into that. And then The final word we'll look at a little later is dunata, which is dynamite, is where we get the word dynamite. Now, I've just dated myself. Any remember that? Brooke, do you have any idea what that was? Where's, no. Dynamite. Good times. Look it up. That's the name of the TV sitcom. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one, Good Times, Deborah? No? Okay. So it's, was that at the same time as All in the Family, or no? It was after All in the Family, wasn't it? A little later. Okay, anyways, we watched Dynamite. That's the word for divine power in this text, okay? So we're going to look at the strategy that we're going to go through, the prisons that we can get ourselves into, and then finally, we're going to also look at the power, the divine power that God has for us. So these are the three points. The first is the prison that is called your mind, okay? The second is the strategy for freedom, and the third is living in that freedom. So the prison of the mind. So Paul says that when he speaks of strongholds, he's not talking about physical, like, jail, although he knew what jail was because he was imprisoned many times, but he was absolutely free when he was in the middle of a prison. In Philippi, do you remember? He's sitting there. He's just been beaten. He's thrown in stocks. He and Silas are in the middle of this prison, not on the edge of the prison, in the middle of the prison, and he is praising God, and he is as free as you can get. Because the real prison, he says, in this world is the prison of the mind. It's the prison of how we trap ourselves into thinking. He says this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, then, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That's the prisons that we make of ourselves, these wonderfully lofty opinions that I have of myself. Okay? Now, maybe have you... Are you? We're going to be a little metacognitive today. Do you know what that means? Metacognitive? Have you ever heard of the word metacognition? You have. You've been to college. Yeah. Metacognition is thinking about your thinking. Have you ever thought about your thoughts? And thinking about your thinking? Have you ever noticed how easily you can get trapped into your thinking and you think this is the way it has to be? And then you start thinking about your thinking and you realize, wait a minute, how did I come up with this? Where am I coming from with this? We don't realize how often many of our thoughts, many of our expectations, many of our ways of thinking actually can trap us and put us in this wonderful little spin cycle of a negative thinking about ourselves, not just negative thinking, but trap in our own stuff, okay? It reminds me... one of my wife's favorite movies, and I have to say it's probably one of mine now, too, the more I think about it. Anybody see the movie Shawshank Redemption before? It is, I know, I'll just tell you up front, you know, some of the best movies and the best plots in this world, they're rehashing a plot named The Life of Jesus in one form or another, okay? And in this movie, you might not see it right away, but there is a path of redemption going through, and Andy becomes more or less a Christ figure in that movie. And there's a man named Red who finally gets paroled after years and years and years of the monotony of prison, but he is still trapped. When he's out of prison, he has made parole, but he is still trapped in the prison of his mind. And this is some of his... I can't do Morgan Freeman well myself, okay? But Morgan Freeman is a character, and this is what he says. 40 years, I've been asking permission to, and I've changed the language a little, use the restroom. I can't squeeze a drop without say-so. There's a harsh truth to face. No way I'm going to make it out on the outside. All I do anymore is think of ways to break my parole... so maybe they'd send me back. Terrible thing to live in fear. Brooks Hatlin knew it. He knew it all too well. All I want is to be back where things make sense, where I won't have to be afraid all the time. Only one thing stops me, a promise I made to Andy. Okay? You're going to have to watch this movie now, okay? But this is towards the end of it. And the question I have is, have you ever felt like Red himself in this? Where You're scared. You're struggling because you're afraid you're going to blow it. You feel like you're on parole, that somebody is looking out and telling you, and when you mess up, man, they're going to get back at you. They're going to get you. You're going to get caught. You might be struggling with some type of a habit or mental pattern in your life. You might try hard as you might to try to break it, but the temptation keeps pulling you back in, and then you feel like you're stuck in this stronghold and you can't get out of this pattern. Now, the strongholds Paul's talking about, they can be almost anything in our lives. Worry can be a stronghold. You probably know people who cannot stop worrying. All they can do is think of all the negative possibilities of things that could happen. Worry is a down payment on a problem you may never have, by the way. And so you just keep thinking about, what happened? And it just keeps going and going. And you stop trying to break it. You try to break that habit yourself. You try to say, nope, I'm going to stop. And you will yourself to not do it anymore. How does that work? Okay. It could be a deep set of insecurity about your body size, your body shape, your body image in whatever way. And what you're really underneath it all going, like, I better do. And I've known people who are like totally, like, from the outside when I look at them, wow, you're, and yet they don't feel that way on the inside in terms of being in shape or being with it or being beautiful. They only can see, in when they look in the mirror, they see it's almost like a funhouse mirror. They have a distortion of who they are, and they're believing that lie, and they're caught in this prison because they're wrapped up in what they have to be in order to be worthy. Okay, those are just a couple examples. Greed, envy of other people, insecurity over success in life, making a name for yourself, whatever it is. Behind it all, the question is, what is the prison that Paul's talking about, this cycle that just keeps you imprisoned? And he says in his passage, again, he said, it is the common denominator is lofty opinions, he says, that are raised against Christ. Okay? Another word for that is pride, self-centeredness. You see, I'm worried about myself. I'm thinking about myself. I'm trying to figure out about myself. I'm not quite sure about myself. So you berate yourself. You push yourself. You spell out the facts. You try to figure it out. You try to will yourself into changing, and you don't. And this is why Neil Anderson, I think, said it well. He said, seeking to overcome self by self-effort is a hopeless struggle. Self will never cast out self. Many Christians believe that the strategy to overcome is just self-will. It's a DIY faith. You know, do it yourself. Oh yeah, I'm saved by God's grace. That's how I got in, but now I better. And then all of a sudden the rules come back in, and you may have gone to certain churches and or heard certain preachers that will now spell out all the wonderful rules you better follow if you're going to stay. And it's almost like you're on parole. Have you ever felt you've been in a situation where people are just looking at you suspiciously, just waiting for you to screw up? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They think you're on parole. You're not on parole. We'll get to that. You are not on parole. You are pardoned. You are forgiven. You are free. Well, I've already spelled it out, but you are. And we're going to talk about what that means. It's not a DIY religion. You don't do it by willpower. You don't get in by grace and then have to switch over to rules. Paul spells that out to others in his life when he looked at the church he founded in Galatia, in this area of Asia Minor. And in Galatia, what he found is people who thought, oh, I'm saved by grace, but now I better get back to doing the works of the law, because that's the only way I'm going to be pleasing to God, is to do these works. It's the only way I'm going to get ahead, is to do these works. I'm saved by grace, but I better work it out now. And Paul says this in Galatians 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Religion may be the biggest prison that people face. Did you realize that? Because it looks so good. It seems so right. These are rules that, these are the right rules. And yet it is DIY, do it yourself, is what is being taught and proclaimed. And it becomes a prison. Did you realize that trying to overcome my selfishness by myself, I just turn myself into a selfish person who is morally prude? It's called a Pharisee. To be truly free, to break down these prison strongholds, yourself isn't going to do it. So what's the strategy? What's the strategy for freedom? Paul says it's that wonderful word of divine power beforehand, that we use divine power to break down those strongholds. And do you know what that word dunata, divine power, that dynamite, Paul defines what that power is. It's not like worldly power. It's not physical power. It's not by force or by fear or by facts. That's the way the world tries to get things done. The power that works in your life and mine that will destroy those strongholds is the power of the gospel. This is how Paul says it in Romans 1:16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the dynamite. That's the word there again, dunata. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power that frees you from yourself. I don't overcome my selfishness by myself. I overcome my selfishness by the selflessness of Jesus Christ. My selfishness is overcome by the selfless acts of Jesus Christ, his life, how he lived for me and for you, how he served, how he forgave, how he welcomed, how he embraced, how he suffers, and how he finally dies for me in my place, taking my place, giving all of himself to me, being completely selfless in every act that he does. He does nothing for himself. He's always doing it all for me his entire life. And through his death and resurrection, that is what breaks down my self-centeredness and releases me from those prisons that I'm entrapped in. Neil Anderson writes, nothing is more foundational to your freedom from Satan's bondage than understanding and affirming that God has done for you in Christ and who you are as his child. And Jesus said it himself when he looked at the Jews and the followers of the law. He said this in John 8. So when he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not just any truth. It is his truth. And it's not just any word. It is my word, he says. That is the word Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, the reality of who he is. That's what sets you free. So what does it mean to live in freedom? Like I said, you are not on parole. You are pardoned. You are absolutely free. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross for you, your debts were canceled, wiped out, removed forever, expunged, never to be brought up again. As far as the east is from the west, so far, God has removed it. He does not remember them anymore. He doesn't even think about them. They do not exist. That's the gospel. It's the unconditional, unlimited, unmerited, unimaginable, incalculable mercy of God in Jesus Christ. You cannot put a cap on it. You cannot control it. You cannot diminish it. You cannot contain its impact in your life. You cannot manage it. The gospel of Jesus Christ so overwhelms the love of God in Jesus Christ that that's all there is, and that changes everything. He changes everything because he gives you freely, completely, holistically, absolutely this grace, this love. There's no questions, there's no doubts, there's no issues, there's no loopholes, there's no exclusions. It's all yours freely. And when you're imprisoned in your thoughts, when you have those wonderful thoughts that come up like, I can't change, or I'm not any good, I'm such a screw up, I've really messed up again, and you keep starting to beat yourself up and berate yourself again. When you say, there's just no way God could love me again, how could he accept me after I've done? God doesn't, we take those thoughts and they go right where they need to go, to the cross of Jesus Christ, and they are put to death there. That's the dynamite power. It kills my self-centeredness that keeps me wrapped up in trying to think I've got to do it, get there and make it. And let me be absolutely who I am, a mess. One loved by God, forgiven by him. Do I screw up? Yeah, I screw up. But Jesus Christ died for me. That's the strategy. That is the strategy. You know, the Bible doesn't say that your thoughts are just freewheeling and going wherever they are. Your thoughts are always captivated by something or someone. Your thoughts come to you because you're focused on something or someone. You can be focused on yourself, or here's how Paul says it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Be captivated by this. And I don't think this is abstract principles that he's talking about. Tell me, who is true? Who is honorable? Who is just? Who is pure? Who is lovely? Who is commendable? Who is excellent? Who is worthy of praise? There's a person he's so captivated by, Jesus Christ. He is so captivated by him that it frees him from worrying about anything else. And this is where, again, the end of the movie, Shawshank Redemption, Red is struggling, he thinks he's not gonna make it, and then he finally finds this letter by Andy. And the love that Andy has had, his acceptance, everything that Andy has done finally breaks through. That's the freedom you have in Christ. You're not on parole. You're not in prison. Christ has set you free so that you would be free indeed. You do not control your mind. Your mind becomes captivated either by your selfishness and self-centered thoughts or by finally the one who's lived and died and risen again for you, the one who is your all in all. And when you are captivated by him, just as Red was so captivated by the friendship that showed his worth and showed that he was wanted and needed and loved, he was able to be free indeed in the end. So winning the battle of the mind is really not about a technique. It's not about a concept or a discipline. It's about a person. It's being captivated by him so much and all he has done for us. This is how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says this, but we have the mind of Christ. That's it. The mastermind I'm looking for is the fact that we have the mind of Christ. We are given his mind, who he is, everything he is, and that makes all the difference. Let's pray. Lord God, we need to be so immersed in your gospel, in your promises, Lord, and what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that it captivates us, Lord, so moves us that we are freed from everything else. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would do that now. Lord, you know the battles that we have struggled with. You know, O Lord, the techniques we have tried, the do-it-yourself versions of life, especially the lie in America that you got to make something of yourself. Lord, we need to receive what you've made of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us new creations in Christ, that you also renew our minds and our spirits through the power of the gospel. May that gospel be so powerful in us that we live in freedom and joy and peace, and that we keep bringing back any thought that strays us from you, Lord, just back and place it at the foot of your cross and let it die there. We pray, Lord, too, that the gospel would so permeate us here at Thrive that we just, something is different about each one of us. And during the week, people are just like, how is it that you seem so? And we have an answer. It's really all about you, Jesus. We have your mind. We are yours. All this we pray in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.